The name of today's message is We Wrestle. The TLV says struggle for the blessing of Yah. We wrestle, we struggle for the blessing of Yah. When I say Yah, in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, it says in Hebrew, Hine el Yeshua ti, eftach velo efchad, ki ozi vesimrati Yah yudhei vavhei. Yah yudhei vavhei. In other words, the book of Isaiah, the verse ends with Behi li li Yeshua. Hear that name? Did you hear Hineni? Did you hear Yeshua? Did you hear Yah and Yudhei Vavhei? If you go into Google and you type Yudhei Vavhei and convert it type it in the Hebrew part, on the bottom there is a thing that says pronounce it. So I did an experiment. I typed Yudhei Vavhei in the Google app for Hebrew and hit the say it. And what came out was Yehovah. Which is, if you were listening, which is what Sam was told by one of the people that works in the book, in the shrine of the book, when he asked, well, how do you say this? And the person did this, like, nobody's listening and we're not being recorded. Yehovah. That's why Sam, our elder, uses Yehovah. Because we don't want to use titles for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's okay to use Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, which is what Marilyn and I have used over the years. But in Isaiah 12:2, it said, Ki ozi vesimrati Yah Yehovah. That's how somebody in Israel would pronounce it, silently. Not anybody could hear it. I think that's good enough for me. It's been Sam's use now so you say, Sam taught me something. So if I use Yah, Yehovah, it's because both of those are in Isaiah 12:2. Okay? And by that, there is no distinction. This is not God among gods or any of those things. This is the name. In Spanish Bibles, and you will attest to that, in the Spanish Bibles, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh is not translated El Señor. It's translated Jehovah. The Spanish people are different than the English people. And while the two Bibles, the King James and La Reina Valera, all came about the same time, the Reina Valera was more strict in terms of following the things of the Jewish world. Very interesting. Really old Bible uses the word Jehovah. You know that one of the Catholic Bibles in Latin America that is very famous, instead of using Jehovah, uses Yahweh. Yahweh, which is what Yud Hey Vav Hey would almost say. You know, because the Yud by itself is Yah or Yeh. And then the Hey, so Yud Hey is Yah. That's what it's in Isaiah 12:2. And then a Vav and a Hey would be pronounced by default. Ve. Yah, Ve. Don't say that to Ashkenazim because they won't want to talk about it. So I'm beginning my message, and I want to go fast. There's a part of Jacob's character that we totally admire. Jacob values the blessing of Yah. When I say Yah, I mean Yud-Heh Vav-Heh. When I say Yah, it's the first part of Yehovah. Most of the time I write in my writings now, Yah, Yehovah. It's only one, that one. And was willing to wrestle for it. Remember, the wrestling match was about, don't go until you bless me. I ain't going to let you go. And so it says, the scripture says they wrestled all night. And early in the morning, as the sun was breaking out, the angel's going to leave. And Jacob still hanging on, wrestling. Like the angel could have just gone, Jacob, done. Okay, but anyway, put that aside. And he said, I will bless you. And he touches the sinew back here. And from that point on, the Jewish people don't eat that in an animal when they cook it. And from that point on, Jacob limped. Okay? And he said, the angel said, from now on, your name will not be Jacob, which is kind of like heel. Yaakov means heel. You know, like the foot, heel. But it can also sound heel, like heel. He wasn't all that great a guy. But you're no longer going to be known as heel. You're going to be known as Israel, as a prince of God. Listen, as a prince of God, you will be called this. I'm changing your name, the angel said. You will now be called Israel because you struggled, the King James Version says, wrestled with Yud Hey Vav Hey. And won, or stayed to the end, right? There was no bell that said any winner. He got his way. It says in Genesis 32:29, your name will no longer be Jacob, but rather Israel, because you have struggled with God, that's Yud Hey Vav Hey, and with men, and have overcome. By the way, I think we're overcomers around here. And that we have overcome as well by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, because we do not love our lives even unto the death. The people, henceforth, the people of Yud Hey Vav Hey, the people of Yah Yehovah, are identified by this name. They're now called the children of Israel, Bnei Israel. Now we are grafted to those who are willing to wrestle with him. We are grafted into the people that comes from Father Jacob, who was willing to wrestle with Adonai. That's who we were grafted in. Not to wimpos. No wimps. No give up. None of that. We were grafted into those that, like Jacob, that are willing to struggle with the Lord. Wrestle with the Lord. Get chutzpah. I mean, get it inside of you. I know, Pat, you already have it, but, you know, for the rest of us here. So, see, I think we, instead of being the children of Israel, we're grafted to the children of Israel. We're grafted into the children of holy chutzpah. In today's parasha, we read that Jacob blessed his son Joseph's two sons. Among the last thing he did, it was the last thing he did. Because those were the sons of Jacob and Benjamin that are lost. They're the sons of Rachel, whom he loved. Verse 20, 48:20. Then he blessed them that day, saying, in you, meaning Joseph's sons, shall the nation of Israel bless their male children by saying, may Adonai make you like Ephraim and like Manasseh. Thus, the scripture says, Yah Yehovah put Ephraim before Manasseh. Genesis 48:20. Let me remind us of some things here that are true. Ephraim and Manasseh are different. These two kids are a little different. Because there is no record of sibling rivalry in the text between them. What was Jacob's son characterized by? Sibling rivalry. What were the sons of Isaac? Civil rivalry. What about the sons of Abraham? You say, well, Abraham only had one. No, he had, for sure, we know two by name. We know more than two by name. We just don't read it. But anyway, we know that there's Isaac and Ishmael. And there are others. So there was strife among all those boys in the family, but not with Joseph's sons. This is a break. My friends, this is a break. This breaks what's been happening in that family since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which demonstrates that these two boys had a sense of humility, harmony, and preferring one another to themselves. Therefore, every Erev Shabbat at our tables, when we do the full Shabbat welcoming on Friday night, we bless the sons in our families with this very blessing. May the Lord make you like Ephraim and Menasheh. Menasheh was the oldest one, and Ephraim was the youngest one. But Jacob said Ephraim and Menasheh, not Menasheh and Ephraim. No matter how much Joseph wanted to change that, Dad, you can't see, I guess. Let me change your hands. And he wanted his right hand over Menasheh, his left hand over Ephraim. Jacob did this. Most of you recall that we danced a dance, the Last Dance Unity dance, officially among them, in Hamalach HaGoel Oti, which is a quote of this verse. Okay? And there the angels are dancing around with in the center is Jacob with two little kids. Ian played Jacob because he didn't want to dance that last dance. So Ian, the choreographer, sat in the middle with two children. They were our children, maybe children from the congregation. And he did this. He goes up there and puts the hands like this. And then the song begins. And the dance goes around. Hamalach HaGoel Oti, it's a beautiful dance. When we bless our children this way, we're proclaiming a break in the cycle. The break of the cycle of contentions between brothers and sisters. But mostly brothers, because Jacob had more. He had 12 sons and one daughter. That we know, okay? The Bible says. We're declaring that there is a shalom, and a vision of shalom among natural and spiritual brothers and sisters, the fullness of which comes through the Prince of Shalom, Yeshua the Messiah. As Jacob lies dying, he confers the value of a blessing to his grandchildren, to his son and grandchildren. What is interesting, he puts those two kids that are blessed in the same level as the real sons of Jacob, but they're his grandsons. Doesn't record that Joseph got a blessing. It just records that his two sons got a blessing. Do you know what Joseph means? In Hebrew, Yosef means double jeopardy, if you like. Double fruitfulness. And so, fulfilled, right there, fulfilled the double on his two sons. So Joseph doesn't get one tribe, he gets two. Don't you think that's pretty amazing? One of the sons takes the place of Joseph. The other son takes the place of, come on, Bible people, Levi. Levi didn't get any land. Levi. Also, one represents Joseph, which is a representative of Yeshua, and the other one represents the priesthood. I really want to preach, but I don't. Therefore, right here, Jacob is setting forth a decree, an edict, that from generation to generation, from parents to their children, that we're to speak the value of Yah Adonai's blessing throughout all generations, which we do every Shabbat for those that do the welcoming of Shabbat in their home. We bless the girls too, by the way, and we bless the wife. And in my house, the wife blessed the husband too. Everybody's doing blessings. This Yah Yehovah blessed Jacob And then Jacob blessed the Pharaoh. Did you miss that as we're reading? What? The Pharaoh is a Gentile and not a believer. Yet, Jacob blessed the Pharaoh. Not once, but twice. And one of those, the Pharaoh asked for it. He asked Jacob to bless him. Do you see that in Jacob's offspring, in the children of Israel, is a result? Do you see it? Are you like getting excited? I hope you get excited. You're not doing anything. You're just standing there, sitting there. This was in Genesis 47:7 and 47:10. That pattern of blessing the Gentiles was followed by Yeshua. What? Yeshua sent his disciples, 70 and 2. In Luke chapter 10, he sent the 70 and 2. He told them, quote, whatever home you enter, first say, shalom be on this home. Verse 6, if a son of shalom is there, your shalom will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. What was the report of the 72 when they came back? Joy to the world, the Lord is born. That was the report. They were rejoicing because the demons were coming out. People were getting healed. They were spreading shalom throughout all of Israel and surrounding lands which are not part of Israel. Yeshua didn't say, just bless the Jews. He said, bless them all. Like he himself went to Gennesaret. And he himself went to all these places that were Gentile cities in the Bible. We don't see that. So I want to ask a question. Should we bless people? Even if we don't know them, is their spiritual status in Messiah? Should we bless people, even if we do not know their spiritual status in Messiah? I think that this passage seems to indicate that. Because it didn't go into just the houses of the believers, or just the houses of the Jews, but the houses of all Israel and surrounding area. Which set a pattern for what he's going to tell them to do, to go to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. The pattern's already set here. It's also significant that Yeshua pronounces blessings to the most unlikely people, like children. Well, the children can really say yes or no or whatever, right? Yeshua pronounces blessings on children. Can I say random children and nobody be upset with me? Random children, like they don't even know. They don't even know who their name is or anything. He blesses children. Mark 10:16, and he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Wow. I think we need to follow that example. So then I have a question. I wonder what blessing he pronounced on them. So what blessing did Yeshua bless the children with? Be still. Or, you know, blessings like, when you grow up, you're going to be a cavalryman. Or all kinds of blessings what we come up with. They hand you a child and you go, ask his name. And usually the Holy Spirit will let you know that the name reveals something about their future. And then you can say something about their future. Good. That's a blessing, right? Now, did Yeshua speak his blessing to them? it says, began blessing them, laying his hands on them. So did he speak his blessing? How about yes? Got it. So what's Yeshua's blessing? Is there a blessing that Yeshua? Oh, yeah. See, this is the second time Yeshua spoke his blessing. Verse 50 of Numbers, I mean of Mark, I was reading in earlier in Luke. Then Yeshua led them out as far as Bethany. This is Luke 24, the last chapter in Luke, I think it's 24, maybe 25. And he, near the end of the last thing that Yeshua did on the earth, he says he led them, the them here is the disciples, as far as Bethany, and he lifted his hands and blessed them. Oh, same pattern. Now the children, he hugged, okay? But he lifted his hands to hug them, okay? How about that? He lifted his hands and blessed them. This is not when he's taken up. That happens a little later. The footnote on this passage is number 6, 22 and 27 through 27. The footnote on Luke 24, verse 50 is number 6, 22 and 27. Wonder what that is. Well, let me before there find out what things did Aaron do. In Leviticus 9:22, it's recorded what Aaron did when he blessed the people. It says, quote, "Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then he stepped down from presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offerings." He lifted his hands and blessed the people. Aaron was both a prophet and a high priest. Okay, listen again. Aaron was both a prophet and a high priest. He's treated as a prophet, just like Miriam and Moses were. They spoke prophetic things. Okay? But it also turns out that the last act of Yeshua, the last thing he did on earth, was to speak his blessing to his disciples. Imagine for a moment. Now, this is 10 days before the book of Acts, chapter 2. And he lifts his hands and they are nail scarred. How do you know they're nail scarred? Because it's recorded for us that he showed him to the unbeliever, to Thomas, and said, stick your fingers in my hands. Stick your fingers in my side. Okay? So those still remain with Yeshua on the earth. Okay? Imagine for a moment his nail-scarred hands stretched out over the wide-eyed disciples, including you and I with them, okay? Can you for a moment humor me? We are there. We are there. Yeshua raises his nail-scarred hands, and he's going to be taken away, and we know what happens. They don't know what happened with their eyes about this big, like mine would be. Quote, "And again Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you are to bless B'nai Israel, by saying to them," okay, so here's the same part. The preceding part is to lift your hands towards them, which is what Aaron did, as recorded for in Leviticus 9. "Adonai bless you and keep you," which means guard, protect, compass about with safety. "Adonai make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. Adonai turn his face, give full attention in a favorable way towards you and grant you shalom, which means wholeness, health, security, serenity, well-being, contentment, harmony, an absence of negative thoughts and negative stress, tension, and conflict. That's all the meanings of shalom. Luke states in 24:51, and while blessing them, he departed from them and was taken up into heaven. What was the last thing that he said? And grant you, we say give, but it's really a grant. And grant you shalom, the last thing. The last thing Yeshua spoke was, grant you shalom. Wow. You even thought about that? Let me finish Numbers chapter 6, verse 27. Remember, 22 to 26 is the blessing? Let's look at verse 27. In this way, they are to place my name over Bnei Israel, and so I will bless them. They place their name of Adonai on Bnei Israel by saying the Aaronic benediction. But the Bible says that Adonai says, Yah, Yehovah says, I will bless them. I will bless them. I'm the source. I will bless them. Wow. Wow. Do you understand that we have Yah, Yehovah, the Father's name placed on our foreheads? Can you say hallelujah? Okay, there's nobody here, but this is important. Let me also share some more stuff. There is a principle in Scripture that the greater person blesses the lesser person. The greater person, the one in authority, bestows the blessing. Actually, that's recorded for us as well in the New Testament, the New Covenant. Hebrews 7:7. Now, it is beyond dispute that the lesser is blessed by the greater. Okay, so I'm not making stuff up. It's all in the Bible. Jacob is blessed by his father Isaac and by the angel of Yah Yehovah. That's where he wrestled. And he got the blessing of the angel of Yah. Jacob, in turn, blesses his grandchildren, his children and grandchildren, and the last one are his grandchildren, but he also blessed the Pharaoh. Jacob also blessed the Pharaoh. Wait a minute. How could this man Jacob, who has such difficulty on earth, somehow be greater in everything than the Pharaoh? I mean, is it something, is Jacob royal blood or what? You understand? I hope so. I'm going somewhere. For a moment, let's step back for a moment and see what the larger narrative is here. We know that Israel is called to be a blessing to the nations, a light unto the nation. This was the charge given to Abraham and continues today. Here we see his namesake, Jacob, his namesake, blessing the king of a mighty nation, one of the mightiest nations known in the ancient world. You see, did you know that Yah, Yehovah's kingdom, gives authority different than earthly kingdoms do? Ah, what kind of human authority would a man have if he has no earthly kingship? And Jacob didn't. The answer is the man who suffered to get that blessing, Jacob, whose days are few and difficult, who brings blessings to all the nations of the earth with the true and absolute authority of a heavenly kingship, a heavenly kingdom. Perhaps you know that there might be somebody else who meets this narrative besides our father Jacob. Let me ask that. Perhaps you know someone else who fits the narrative besides our father Jacob. Everybody go. Take the finger and point it right there. Because we are the body of Messiah. We have the authority. He's the Lord of Lords. I know I'm just blew the thing to pieces, but bear with me. Perhaps you and I have that privilege. Peradventure. Aren't we ambassadors of a heavenly kingdom here on earth? Aren't we the actual body of the Lord, Messiah, Yeshua, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right here on the earth? We have the authority that Jacob had, the authority of a heavenly kingdom. Little chance that many people know this, because out of the same mouth that's going to come a blessing should come a cursing. But I didn't say that. James said that. Brothers, that ought not to be so. At this point in Genesis, Jacob is walking in his identity as the blessed sir instead of the blessee. This is why he's able to bless his grandchildren from his position, because he's now the blessed sir. He has learned the value of a blessing, and they all want his blessing. His character is shaped by struggles and all kinds of stuff that happened in his life. But at this point in his life, Vayehi Yaakov, he's ready to pass on the blessing to his son and his grandchildren. I ask a question, therefore. So why would we, Messianic Jews, bless our children that Yah Adonai gave us to make them as Ephraim and Manasseh? Why do we quote the blessing of Jacob over his grandchildren? Because in this blessing that Jacob gave, we see all of Jacob's values come together one last time. He's really triumphant now. He's really our patriarch, father. What those values are? Humility, identity, and hope. Let me quote for you Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And he bowed in worship while leaning on top of the staff. The scripture says he expired. I want to say that our words have great influence on the lives of those around us. A spoken blessing can bring hope, encouragement, direction to all of our families, our friends, our children, and others. Many people are experiencing deepening relationships and spiritual encouragement as they discover the power of a spoken blessing if we only would speak it. What is a spoken blessing? A spoken blessing is a positive biblical statement that invokes the blessing of Adonai in the life of another. As the Rebbetzin said, anything that is in God's word qualifies as a blessing over someone. So we don't have to even wonder. We got a whole 66 books to find that we can find something there to say to somebody. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. With every, what does that mean? With all? We've been blessed with all of the spiritual blessings. Why? Because we got his word. We can use it. We can be the mouth of Yeshua to pick up the children, whether they're big children or little children. And believe me, the big ones are harder to pick up. A spoken blessing is the instrument by which the body of Messiah administers Yeshua's love. Turns out, though, that we Messianic Jews have even a better blessing we can give people. It is the priestly blessing. In Numbers 6, 24 through 26, which I just showed you. I hope you got it. This is Yeshua's blessing. Yeshua's blessing to his disciples is the Aaronic benediction. In doing so, you place the greatest mark of ownership on a person possible. The mark of Yah Yehovah on them, on their foreheads. There's no better mark of ownership in the world. And with this ownership comes the blessing of abundant life, more abundant, of Yeshua. Turns out that the meaning of the Hebrew is way more than the English, because the Hebrew conveys concreteness and the English conveys abstract. Praying in Hebrew affirms that we are the Father's hand. And because of that, we are healed. That means sleep, insomnia is gone. Provision comes, etc., etc. Here's some of the keys, and then we're going to pray the prayer, and I'm going to end. Four keys. Key number one. This is the only prayer that the Father himself wrote. Key number two. The Hebrew has far deeper meaning than the English. I encourage you to learn the Hebrew. When we pray it in Hebrew, it releases power and impartation. That's that word that I want you to hear me say. This is a prophetic word. Impartation of gifting and so on comes from that. Key number three, the Jewish high priest must pronounce it over you. But Yeshua is a high priest. And he made us his body. And we're going to pronounce it in his name. That's what we're going to do. Not just Tony. Not just Joe. Everybody. And number four. The prayer is chanted in Hebrew. Joe, would you mind? If you're interested, what I'm going to pray now, I'll put on paper so you can have it. I'm going to pray the Aaronic benediction. If you prefer to be seated, that's fine. Because I want your undivided attention. If standing up makes you tired, don't stand up. If laying down makes you more attentive, lay down. Here we go. Which means the Lord bless you. Here's part of the prayer. May Yah, Yehovah Yah, your heavenly Father, who is the one who exists, who is, right? The book of Hebrews says, Barech. Yevarechecha, from Barech. You know what Barech means in Hebrew? Kneel before you. So he can respond with a covenant response of Hineni to you. We're saying, Heavenly Father, you kneel in front of us so that you can give us a covenant response of Hineni, which means to give undivided attention. Hineni is defined as a covenant response. I've spoken on this before here. And it means, quote, you have my full attention and nothing is distracting me. Everything that I am and have is at your disposal. The good father kneels before his child. Barach, to kneel. With his hands extended in order to minister and bestow his covenant, comfort, gifts, and promises to you. Wow, we just got started. The next one is Ve'yishmerecha, which means to keep you. May Yah, your heavenly Father, the one who is, the one who exists, guard, which is military guarding, what Adam was supposed to do in the garden over his his wife. May Adonai guard you with a hedge of protection. That's his embrace. That's what Yeshua was doing with his children. By embracing them, he was protecting them with a hedge of protection that prevents Satan and all your enemies from harming your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind, will, and emotions, and your loved ones and all your possessions. Next. Ya'er Adonai panavei lecha. Stop there. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May Yah, Yehovah, your heavenly Father, the one who is, the one who exists, illuminate you with the wholeness of his being. Where did you get that? Ya'er comes from the verb or, which means to light, to give light. In other words, he's going to illuminate you, to produce light in you. Panav Eilecha means literally in your face. In your face. Bringing you to order so you fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose because of his enlightenment, which is his revelation. Vihunecha. Translated, and be gracious to you. Let's pray. May Yah, Yehovah, your heavenly Father, the one who is and who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. By giving you sustenance, provision, and friendship, he says to you, listen carefully. The Lord is saying to you when he says, Vihunecha, you are my son or my daughter, and I am well pleased. This is the word that he himself said to Yeshua at the Jordan. Let me quote that. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Luke 3:22. In Matthew 17 and 5, in the parallels passage, it says, this is my son who I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's Shema to him. Wow. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May Yah, Yehovah, Adonai, your heavenly Father, he's the one who is and exists. Lift up. This word right here, Yisa, comes from Nasa, which means to lift up and carry. That is, we are going to carry his fullness of being towards you. Everything that he has is at your disposition because he's extending it to you. But it also means the following. I didn't get a picture, but there is a famous painting of Yeshua on the beach carrying somebody. And the only steps you see are Yeshua's steps. This is the imagery here. When it says, Yisa Adonai panavelecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha. He will carry you. He's saying, I will carry you like the shepherd carries the lambs. There's only going to be one set of footprints, mine. Ve'asem lecha shalom. Translated. And grant you peace. Give you, grant you. Because it's a granting by the sovereign. May Yah, Yehovah, your heavenly Father, the one who is and exists, set in place all you need to be whole. All you need to be complete. So you can totally walk in victory, moment by moment. By the power of his Holy Spirit. May he give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. I think we need to pray that prayer just like that. I have one more thing to say. So I've already prayed for you, okay? I've already dismissed you, and you have the prayer. And I think that in your private time, it'd be good to, if you don't want to say the Hebrew, at least say the rest of it. Not just be gracious to you and leave it there. Like, everybody imagine what that means. Just say what it means. What do you suppose I will put my name upon them mean? He told the children of Aaron, when you pray this, I, Yud Hey Vav Hey, Yah Yehovah, will put my name upon you. Hang on. To put his name is to put Shem. Shem means name in Hebrew, right? Which means to place on you. Shem of Adonai is his character, his power, and his authority. You, when you get this blessing, you get the Shem, the name. And the name of God, the name of Adonai, conveys his power, his character, and his authority. That's defined by the prophetic world as an impartation. He imparts on us his character, his power, and his authority. You see, the only thing exalted more than his name is his word. He didn't put his word upon us. He put his character upon us, his Shem. We still have the highest there is in the word. But now we have the second highest, if you like. We got the second highest. Do you know what happened when Adonai, Yah Yehovah, breathed upon the man in Hebrew in Genesis 1? Let me quote it to you. The Hebrew that he used was Nashem. Nashem. In other words, he imparted his own life, authority, etc., on Adam. No wonder he was the sovereign of the universe when he was created. Any different now? That's the deal. Any different now? Do you remember that in the book of Genesis, it says that Yah Yehovah put a mark on Cain? What was that mark about? Do you remember that? The scripture says, so that anyone who finds you, Cain, will not strike you down. Do you think that if Adonai Yah Yehovah put his shame on you, that any enemy or anything can come and just do whatever it wants? Or is it that a distinction placed upon you in the spiritual world that there must be angels protecting it? And I was not even aware. So let me say to you, the Aaronic benediction, the blessing of Yeshua, is the impartation of his name upon you. Shabbat shalom.